It is so good to be here. It is an honor to be here. And I want to thank Pastor Tom and Alice and the entire City Church. I love coming here. And I tell my wife often, you guys are fun, and yet you're serious. You're fun to hang out with, you're fun to laugh with, but you're serious about God. And you're serious about pursuing Him. Before I get any further tonight, I have been challenged for a number of years as to whether I'm really married or not. Some people, thank you, Tom. Some people have said, yes, you say you're married, but your wife has never been here with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you the love of my life for 31 years, Kim Hollis. Would you stand, please? See? Told you. Oh, you know, Kim and I met the Flahertys, the McCartneys, and the Wrights all the same at the same time. I was speaking at Sand Hill Lake Bible Camp in Minnesota in 1993 when we were 22 years old. And the Flahertys were pastoring at Bethel there in Foston. McCartneys were running the camp, and the Wrights were youth pastors. And we have been friends for life, and it has been amazing. And it's just fun now, 30-some years later, we're still friends, and we're still worshiping together, and it's great. So thank you for having me tonight. You know, maybe some of you don't know this since you've seen me last. Kim and I have become grandparents. Thank you. It was nothing, but We're really excited. His name is Bryson Cole, and my daughter and her husband, they brought him into this world, and we love him, and he turned one this year. And my daughter threw a big one-year-old birthday party, and it was a surprise. I don't think he had a clue, which that was neat. That was neat to see that. But what's interesting with him is I love to hold him. I can't hold him enough. I saw him last night. I didn't want to let go of him, you know. And it's just different because typically I don't like to hold babies. And I don't want to offend you, but a lot of times friends of mine, they'll have a baby. And the first thing, you know, we'll come over to celebrate and see the baby. And the first thing they do is, would you like to hold him? No, not really. I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of it. They can't talk. They can't do anything. I feel like I'm going to break them. I just don't see it as a great experience for me or them. So I like to throw people off. Like, I like to introduce them to my father and say, this is my dad. Would you like to hold him? You know, just to see what they do. It's an honor to be speaking on Youth Night here at City Church. I have had the privilege of speaking to the City Church Youth Group many times, and I love that group, and I know that they love Jesus, and I'm excited about that. I'd like to open up in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and we're going to use that story, and we're going to dive right into God's Word for tonight, okay? So let's pray. Father, there's no better place we could be right now. One day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. God, I'm asking you to do what I cannot do. I'm asking you that through the foolishness of preaching, you change lives. God, I'm gonna do my very best to be obedient to what you've showed me. But Holy Spirit, if you're not here, there's no reason for me to be here. So God, I pray you take over and I pray you touch the lives tonight. Transform us. Make us more like you. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a couple experiences back in June I want to share with you. The beginning of June, Kim and I had a vacation that was planned. We were supposed to go away with some friends. We were all excited. And the day we were supposed to leave, both of us got sick, really, really sick. And that was just such a bummer because, you know, when you have something planned and you're all excited about it, especially like a vacation, and then you can't go, and then you're sick. We were sick for 2 weeks. We had a severe viral cold infection, whatever it was. It turned into a sinus infection for me and an eye infection and all these different things. And it was miserable, and I hated it. And I couldn't breathe. It's like it didn't matter what I did. It seemed like I couldn't breathe. Now, let's just shift here for a second. I'm 52 years old, and I'm a CPAPer. And what that means is I wear a CPAP at night. I hate the CPAP. Can I just see by a show of hands any other CPAPers in the audience? Okay, good. Good. You know what's so cool? You know how a lot of times if someone has a Harley, they wave to other guys on Harleys? Or Corvettes. Us guys with these little gray suitcases, when we're walking in the airport, we're like, what's up? What's up? But I really don't like my CPAP machine. And I'll tell you, for some of you younger people that don't know what it is, it's this. I guess there's a few different styles. I've got this one that it fits in. It's a hose that goes from a machine, and then it has these things they call nose pillows, and they fit inside of my nostrils. And I have this strap over my head, and I look like Gonzo when I'm going to bed. It's super romantic. And this machine blows air into my nose all night long, which is really crazy. You know how sometimes you'll have like a pepperoni pizza and have weird dreams that night? I dream I'm inflating tires and stuff throughout the night. I've had dreams that I'm a leaf blower just walking around. And this air, it's really weird because it keeps your mouth shut, which Kim appreciates, but the way it all works, I don't know how it all works, but it shoots air into my nose and then it keeps my mouth shut. And if I open my mouth, it's all this weird air blowing out, and so it keeps your mouth closed and it blows through my nostrils. Well, I couldn't breathe. My nostrils were stuffed. I didn't feel good, and I thought, you know what? Even though I hate that machine, I'm gonna wear it tonight, so it helps me breathe. It'll clear me out. Well, I laid down and I put it on, and everything was great. And then another unexpected thing. See, the first unexpected thing was that I was sick, but now another unexpected thing came up. In the middle of the night, it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I have never, ever, ever woken up for this reason before, ever. But I immediately woke up out of a dead sleep because I was about to sneeze. And I was frantic to get that thing off as fast as I could. And I remember sitting up in bed, no, no. And now, I'm not going to go into details for you. I don't think we need that. But if you would like to know, first of all, the average sneeze is about 100 miles an hour. Or you can look this up. The CPAP is forcefully blowing air back at you. I learned that night, you reap what you blow. And I like I said, I'm not going to gross you out and describe it, but if you want to know what it was like, on your way home tonight, get on the freeway, get up to about 100, roll your window down, stick your head out the window and sneeze, and you will discover what I experienced that night. That was a horrible night. There are things that happen to us in a split second that we never dreamed of, we never expected, we didn't think would happen, and all of a sudden it's there. And tonight at this Intimacy with God conference, which I have heard amazing things about this conference for years, and I thank you, Pastor Tom, for your heart, for your church and your community and putting this on. This is much, much needed. But in this Intimacy with God conference, I'm not going to spend time teaching you about intimacy with God, what it is and how to get to that point. I'm going to jump to the other side of that, and I'm just going to go straight into some effects of intimacy with God. What are some results that come from intimacy with God? And there are three effects I want to touch on tonight. And the first one is intimacy with God positions you. The second one is intimacy with God prepares you. And the third one is intimacy with God propels you. It positions you. It prepares you. It propels you. What I want to do to get these points across is I want to look at someone in the Bible who truly was known for having a solid, intimate, close relationship with God. I know there are many we could choose from, but I am going to have us read about a man named Daniel. So I'm going to be in Daniel chapter 6 tonight. I believe we're going to have scriptures on the wall, but if not, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Daniel chapter 6. And I want to preface it because we're going to start in verse 10, and I just want to preface it with this. So back in the day when these things had happened, earlier than this actually, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he came in with his people. This is explained at the beginning of the book. He came in with his army. They sabotaged Jerusalem. They took prisoners, and they went back to Babylon. And some of the prisoners that they took, one of them, his name was Daniel. And then you've probably heard of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men were raised up through the royal office. The king at the time was just saying, okay, I want them to be trained a certain way. I want them to know our language. I want them to know our culture. I want them to know all these different things. And they stood out so much among the crowd, especially Daniel, that when it came down to chapter 6, now that they have a king named Darius, Darius wants to put Daniel in charge of many of the other governors in the area. Well, the others were jealous. We see these kinds of things in the Bible a lot. They were just jealous of Daniel and his success and how good he was doing and all this stuff. And so they did everything they could to stop Daniel. Well, they couldn't. God's favor was on him. And so they came up, they schemed up this plan, and they talked the king in a very sneaky way, talked the king into making a rule that if at a certain point of the day, if anyone worships anyone other than this image, that they'll be thrown in the lion's den and all these different things. Daniel refused. That's where we're going to start with tonight. I just wanted to preface it. We're in verse 10. This is Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And I'd like to thank Dave Bechtold for buying me glasses when I turned 50, because this will help tonight. Thank you, Dave. Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. The king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Because he had trusted in his God. Yeah, praise the Lord. Because he had been trusted in his God. Did you notice in verse 10 and 11 that it says three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before? Here's my first point I want to make. Intimacy with God, closeness with God, positions you to be in line with God, to receive from God, and to see what God is doing. And within this position, it's kind of like football. If you're into football, how you have the quarterback and then you have these receivers. And a receiver is running and he's running around and he's avoiding these different obstacles and he's getting in position to receive. And when we spend time with God and we build that close relationship with God, what it does is it puts you in a position to receive. And it puts you in a position to see. Do you ever determine where you're going to sit in church by where the really tall guy is sitting? Or the one with really big hair? You ever finally got that perfect seat and you're like, oh, man. And you just can't see the way you thought you could see. You see, God wants you to be in a position where you can see things others cannot see. See, everyone else is just seeing things in the flesh, but we as Christians, we don't live by sight. We live by faith. And so there's an eyesight that comes only from being in the, or as a result of being in an intimate relationship with God, that he gives us eyes to see what others cannot see. He gives us ears to hear what others cannot hear, and he puts us in a position to receive all that he has for us. Now, with this, we notice that Daniel obviously had a routine. And I want to talk about just the importance of a routine here for a second. Daniel got on his knees three times a day and he prayed. That's routine. He got down on his knees and he sought God. And I'm not talking about some religious program where he had to do this. It was something that he had to do to look good. It was a result of a close relationship with God that he got on his knees. His position was on his knees, which enabled him to stand against the enemy. Intimacy with God results in standing in position, getting in position. Through routine. I know for me, I have been a follower of Christ since November 12th, 1989. And since that time, I have absolutely, I'm not saying I've been perfect with this, but I have committed to praying and studying his word every day. That routine for me has aligned me in a way that it's easier for me to receive, it's easier for me to see, and it's easier for me to go. And I want to encourage you, get in a routine. And again, I'm not talking about just this, oh, well, I got to check this off the box, I got to check that off the box. I'm talking about disciplining yourself in a way that the effect is, the result is, not only a closeness with God, but a position to receive from him. In this routine, you know, it's funny how with Daniel, things changed in his circumstances except for his routine. We saw here very clearly, it says three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. And later on, their satraps are going to the king and they're going, he doesn't stop. He keeps doing this. He's praying just like he always prayed. And in his prayer, he was praying to God and he was asking God for help, but he was also giving thanks to God. And I want to talk about that for a second, how thanksgiving, or what I like to say, Thanksgiving puts us in a position to see better. If every day part of your routine is to give thanks to God, what's going to happen is you're going to develop a gratitude in your heart. And you're going to develop thanksgiving in your heart. And by the way, speaking of thanksgiving and speaking of routine and intimacy with God, let me say this. Do these things in the off season. Now, what do I mean by the off season? Don't wait until there's a problem. Do it in the off season. My wife and I were flying here today. I love to fly. I mean, the seats are a little small and all that, but I mean, the experience of flying, I love. My favorite part is taking off and landing. I love it. My wife does not like to fly. She hasn't been on a trip, not just because of flying, but she hasn't been on a trip with me where I've been ministering in quite a while. We have dogs, we had kids, we, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, she does not like to fly. We were in the air today on a small plane from Chicago, O'Hare, to Madison here, and all of a sudden there was all this turbulence. Now, I like turbulence. So I'm like, hey, it's like a roller coaster. Let's just pretend. But she does not like turbulence. And it got kind of bad. And in the moment, I turned to look out the window and I prayed a prayer. And I said, dear Lord, please, please, please do not allow this plane to crash. If it does, she will never want to fly with me again. We made it. But isn't it interesting how we wait until the turbulent times? That's when we call on God. We wait until there's a problem, and then we get really serious about God. But you see, Daniel was serious about God long before the threat of the lion's den. He had a routine. He had a system. He had a discipline. He prayed. He sought the Lord. And in that prayer was thanksgiving. And I find that so powerful because Daniel practiced giving thanks on a regular basis long before he was faced with the lions, and he still gave thanks. Because when you do something and build that strength in the off season, it'll carry you through the tragic seasons. So many times we wait. Listen, intimacy with God cannot wait until there's a big problem. It cannot wait until you're faced with the lion's den. This was an overflow of what he did. This is who he was. And he still gave thanks. And I love that it said he gave thanks to God. You might be sitting here going, how could he possibly be giving thanks to God when he's going to be facing death of the lions? Because he had developed a relationship with God that resulted in trust, he started with a position on his knees, and it resulted in boldness and strength to stand against the enemy and not back down and say, I will not stop. In fact, I will continue what I've always done, and I'm going to give thanks to God. You see, when you build that muscle of giving thanks and you have thanksgiving, what happens is you are able to see all that God is already doing. And you don't have to be afraid of what you're hearing the enemy wants to do. You don't have to be worried about rumors. You don't have to be worried about some scary image. You don't have to be worried about some threat. Because you have so much to be thankful for. But do it in the off season so you're ready in season. I tell couples all the time, young couples that are getting ready to be married, and I'm doing premarital counseling, one of the things I tell them all the time is learn to communicate in the off season. Learn to talk in the off season. Like, you might not even think you have something to talk about, but go home. When you get home every day, turn off the TV. Take some time. Maybe it's when the kids go to bed or whatever. Take some time where you turn off the phones, you turn off the TV, you turn off the radio, and you look at each other across the table or on the couch and just pick one or two questions to ask each other or one or two things to tell each other and learn how to communicate, because a time's going to come when you need to already know how to communicate. And when you're faced with a problem or you're faced with an issue, you need to have those times in the off season preparing you for the in season. This brings up one of the biggest points I'm going to repeat over and over tonight. Intimacy with God is not about the moment. It's also about what is to come. And so many times we want this experience with God, and who doesn't, right? I want to experience God, but we want to feel his presence. We want to feel his power. We want to feel good in God's presence, but that's not what we should be pursuing in intimacy with God. That time with God in his presence is going to prepare you by positioning you for what is to come. And if you are only looking for a feeling and you're only looking for an experience, that's as far as it will go. But if you're looking to build and develop a relationship with the living God, as Daniel did, that will carry you through anything you are ever faced with. So tonight is not about just an experience you have here. It's about experiencing a closeness with God that's going to carry you through what's coming. So he positioned himself. He had a routine. He gave thanks. You know, and this is funny. I was at a sporting event in Seattle a while back, and we're in this big stadium with the roof open, and this airplane that, you know, the announcer, okay, everybody look up, look up. And this plane's been circling and circling. And all of a sudden, the skydiver jumps out. And the moment he jumped out, everyone clapped and whistled and cheered. And I'm a little sarcastic at times. But my first thought was, first of all, I don't think he can hear you. But secondly, isn't that a little presumptuous? I'm going to save my applause for when he lands safely. Anyone can fall out of a plane. I want to see him land. So I waited until he landed. Then I clapped. Then I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But you know what? That's what thanks does. That's what Thanksgiving does. Is it rises that faith within us that we clap and give thanks to God before we see the person land. We know that God is in control. We know that God is for us and not against us. And when we stand here and we sing tonight and we clap and we give thanks and we give praise, even in the middle of our lion's den, what we're doing is we're applauding God ahead of time, saying, I know this is going to turn out for my good. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so it positions you. Intimacy with God, another effect, the second effect we're going to hit on, is it prepares you. It prepares you. Not on this flight that we just went on today, but I was on a flight earlier this year. And the flight attendants get up and they do their whole routine and exits and this and that. And, you know, no one's listening. No one's paying attention. They're telling you, read this, read the brochure. No one's. We fly across the country. We land. And the guy next to me pulls out the emergency thing and starts reading it. I'm like, a little late, maybe. You know what I mean? You don't want to wait until it happens. I grew up in the 70s, loved the cop shows. I loved Starsky and Hutch. I don't know if there's any Starsky and Hutch fans. Probably just the CPAPers. But anyhow, it's all right. It's a cool group of guys. It's cool. Starsky and Hutch, really cool. But here's what, you know, watching it now as an adult, looking back at these old 70 cop shows, there's something I cannot ignore. A bad guy will get up in the morning, do his routine, get his gun. They show him putting his gun, you know, on his belt or in his car. He drives across town. He gets somebody. He follows someone for half the day. And then he sits across the street from their house for about 5 hours, just watching them. And when they come out of the house, that's when the guy pulls his gun out, opens it up, and checks for bullets. You've been following him all day long. You've been sitting here with nothing to do, and now you're going to check and see if the gun is loaded? But is this not what we do? We don't get prepared. We react. And God doesn't want you to just react. God wants you to be prepared. And how do you get prepared? Developing a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ through a disciplined routine of putting him first and making your life completely wrapped around him. It was Joe Frazier, one of the greatest boxers of all time. He said this, "You can map out a light plan or life plan, but when the action starts, you're down to your reflexes. That's where your road work shows. If you cheated on that in the dark of the morning, you're getting found out now under the bright lights." He goes on to say this, "Champions aren't made in the ring. They are merely recognized there." You cannot wait until you're in the ring to start training for the fight. I wanted my son to be, you know, I was a pretty small guy growing up. I was not the best parent, but I told Kim when he turned 9, I wanted to buy him some boxing gloves. I wanted to teach him some things. So I got an adult-sized pair of gloves, and I got him a kid-sized pair of gloves. And Kim wasn't quite sure about this, the wisdom behind this, but I said, listen, I want to teach him, you know, to, you know, protect himself, and plus it'll be a guy thing we can do together, blah, blah, blah. So we cleared out all the furniture in the living room, and I got on my knees. My son's got his gloves on, and I said, now listen, here's what you want to do. I acted like I knew what I was talking about. And I said, you want to block and hit. Block and hit. And I'm showing him different ways of doing it. And we're getting ready. I said, okay, now here we go. And my son says, can we hit in the face? And Kim steps in, no hitting in the face. And I'm like, hey, I am the man. This is our... She goes, no hitting in the face. I waited till she got out of the room. And I turned to my son and I said, we can hit in the face on one condition. That you know if you hit me in the face, I'm going to hit you in the face. And we have to wear mouth guards. That was condition number two. So we put the mouth guards in. He's determined. We're going and he's blocking and hitting and blocking and hitting. And I'm laughing. I'm like, you know, and he's getting into it. And it was like, I don't know where this came from. He just whoop, and hit me so hard that I felt like I was seeing stars. And I fell back, and he's hitting me, and I was like, whoa. And I was just trying to be a good parent, so I punched him right back. Right in the eye. And my son goes, ah, wait, ah, my eye. And I'm like, shh. Shh, are you crazy? She's right over. She's in the other room. Shh. He's like, my eye, Dad, my eye's watering. And I'm like, don't. He goes, I got to run underwater. I said, well, use the upstairs bathroom. Upstairs bathroom. And he walks past that one, and he's walking past Kim. She's in a recliner, and I hear the recliner clink. What happened? Dad hit me in the eye. I'm like, no, no. And he goes in the bathroom. He's running water, and Kim's like, Brett! I came in, and I'm like, what? She goes, what are you doing? I said, he hit me first. It was the rules. He knew it. And we're sitting there, and now Kim and I are getting into this in the doorway, and she's like, that is just terrible. I can't believe. And I'm like, well, and all of a sudden, my son turns around while we're in this argument and just hits me in the mouth and runs between us. And I'm like, see? You see who you've raised? Man. But you got Joe Frazier here that knows what he's talking about. He was a champion fighter. And he's saying, listen, it is going to be exposed in the ring of how much you put into this. And I'm telling you, I'm especially telling you young people, get in a routine now. Get in a routine now that you are on your face before God and you get that close relationship now. So when it's the off season, you can develop it so that when that day comes, because that day will come, it's going to come. And for some of you in the room tonight, it's already here. You feel like you have just been tossed in the lion's den and you don't get it. You don't understand why God would allow this. But when you were disciplining yourself in the off season, God was preparing you. He was preparing you. You don't become a champion in the ring. You're seen for who you are. As Daniel did this, he knew it was not about just the moment he was praying. It was about the times that were going to come. Did you notice that in the story, the king says to Daniel twice, "Has the God whom you serve continually saved you?" Because the king knew that part of Daniel's routine was to serve him in the good days and serve him in the difficult days. And his circumstances around him changed, but his routine did not. But what happens to us is when we are faced with a threat or we're faced with a tough day, all of a sudden we throw the routine out the window and we just crumble. God has something so much more in store for you. God has his power resting on you. God has created you to be more than a conqueror in Christ. Do you get that? Not just a conqueror, more than a conqueror in Christ. Develop that in the off season. Here's the thing. It said that his signet ring, the king's signet ring, and a big stone was placed before it so that his circumstances or his situation would not change. And I want to tell you, some of you in this room today, you're like, well, I have done the routine. I have done all this, not just for days. Brad, I've been doing this for years, and I just got thrown in the lion's den. He didn't listen to me. I called on him. I even gave thanks in the middle of it, and he didn't answer my prayers. I still got thrown in the lion's den. Do you know why I think Daniel was still thrown in the lion's den? You might see it and go, but Daniel's prayer was not answered. He prayed for God to help him, and he was still thrown in the lion's den. You know why I think he was still thrown in there? Because God wanted to show off. And you know why you're in your lion's den? It could be because he's making room to show off. He could have done something to change that decision. He could have done something that would have kept him out of that lion's den, but would have been as cool of a story. You and I, years later, are like, no, I like the lion part. That's pretty cool. You know, I've always wondered, you know, did he pet him? Or was that like pushing it, you know? You know, like, kitty, kitty, kitty. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he did. But sometimes God will allow you to get into that den so you can see what he can do inside of that den. You see, Daniel met with God in his upper room, but God met with Daniel in the lion's den. You see, it's so interesting to me that some view this as not an answer to his prayer, but I think it was beyond an answer to his prayer. I think it was his prayer answered and then some. And I just want to encourage you tonight, if you are in a position that you feel like you're in the lion's den and you've been praying that God will change your circumstances and they're not changing, well then, if I was you, I want to just encourage you to pray that God would change you inside of your circumstances. And that you would be able to see the hand of God, that your position would be such that you can see what he's really doing. Your position would be such that you would be able to stand because you did in the off season. Now you're able to stand now and you trust him. Daniel trusted his Lord and that's why he was able to stand. He answered his prayer and then some. Let's allow God to show off in our life. Let's allow God to, I mean, And listen, it's easier said than done. Trust me, I say every time people ask me about preaching, I say, look, this message I'm giving, I've either gone through it, I'm going through it, or I'm going to go through it. I know that. And I've gone through that. And I've had some recent times lately that were just really, really difficult. And I struggled, but I kept my routine. I was determined to keep my routine. And I'm not saying it was me, but I'm saying I was determined to trust God even when I couldn't see. And I can tell you from experience that when God shows off, it's way better than if he answered the first initial prayer. So let's get in those lion's dens and let's just say, Lord, show off. Just show off. Show off your power. Show off your strength. Show off your love. Show off your goodness. And the result, number three, is intimacy propels us. You see, the intimacy Daniel had with God landed him in the lion's den, but it was also that same intimacy that launched him out of the lion's den. It was the deliverance that was attached to the trust that he had with God because of his time with the Father. You know, in Acts 4:13, I'll just quote this for you. Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know what I think is neat about that is those men had been with Jesus. They had walked physically with Jesus. But this was later. This was after Jesus had already risen. And they spent time. They were devoted to prayer. And they spent time with the Lord since then. And the people were beginning to realize it because of their courage. That result of that intimacy was courage that propelled them, compelled them, sent them. But it all was rooted back to that closeness that they had with God. So tonight, the question is, will you keep doing what you've always done in the face of a threat? Will you keep going even when it seems like everything is against you? And if you're here tonight and you're like, man, I've never thought of any of this. I don't even have a routine. Then congratulations. This is the starting point. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him personally. He wants you to know what freedom really is. He wants you to know what life really is. And it begins by just surrendering your life over to him in Jesus' name. And from this time forward, you get into a routine where your position involves growing with God so that when you're faced with these terrible times, nothing phases you. That you continue to do what you've always done. And you'll find yourself in great places. Earlier this year, I was on an airplane and this 7-year-old girl was sitting next to me and we were having these little conversations. It was me, her, and her mom. I didn't know her, but I met her on the plane. And they got on the intercom. They said, okay, we're about to land. Please, everyone, buckle your seatbelts tightly, whatever, whatever. And the mom's helping her, and she's tightening it, and I'm tightening mine. And the little girl turns to me, and she goes, will you be landing with us? And I said, I certainly hope so. Certainly hope so. Will you be landing with God? Will you be found doing what you see your Father doing? Intimacy with God positions you, it prepares you, and it propels you. And I want to encourage you as we continue in this conference, don't make it about just this conference. Don't make it about just this week. Make it about the rest of your life. God is getting ready and preparing to do something in your life. And I really strongly feel like some of you are in a lion's den right now. But instead of seeing the lion's mouths closed, it's like they're growling at you. Don't give up. God is in this place. God wants to do amazing things. And young people, I want to tell you, start that routine now. Get into it now. Don't wait till you're an adult to pray for someone. Pray for someone tonight. Don't wait until later on in life before you get serious about God. Get serious about God right now. The biggest regret I have in my life is I didn't turn my life over to Christ earlier than I did. And I grew up in the church. And I was given that opportunity every single Sunday. And I ignored it every single Sunday. I always had a reason. You know, when it comes to sin, it's pretty common. If you're talking about Las Vegas, Sin City, hey, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for debt. You cannot look at this conference and say, hey, let's us Christians, let's just have a really good time. Let's get goosebumps for Jesus and then just leave it here. This conference is not about the experience or the feelings of tonight or tomorrow or Friday. It is about developing a lifestyle. And it cannot stay here. It has to go out those doors with you. It has to go home with you. This conference is not just about you. It's about your family. It's about your kids. It's about your grandkids. It's about generations you don't even know about yet. This conference is not just about you. It is about your coworkers. It is about your neighbors. It is about those people that you meet in the store. It's not just about you. God wants to fill you, and every experience that he gives you is for you to now go out and use. So let's get close to Jesus. Let's allow him to pour out of our life.